In the name of the one holy and ever living God. Amen. Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Andy Guffey. I belong to the rector. And I'm overjoyed to be able to come here today and to open the word with you. But before I get started or get too far along, there's one thing I wanted to make sure you heard me say, and I have the pulpit, so I get to say it, and that's thank you. Thank you so much for welcoming our family into your family. This has been a beautiful place to bring the boys, and I am so glad to have been able to be here on Sunday mornings these past few months. Many of you probably know that I have received a call for a church in Lake Orion, and so you won't see me around as much. But I did want to say to you how very grateful we are for the care that you have shown our family. And this is a family service. So as I was reading over the lessons this week, I was thinking about family and thinking about these lessons, and another lesson came into my mind, a reading from the Gospel according to Margaret Wise Brown called Runaway Bunny. Hands up if you've read Runaway Bunny to your children or grandchildren or somebody. Yes, very good. Runaway Bunny, for those of you who don't know, it starts like this. Once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away. So he said to his mother, "I am running away." "If you run away," said his mother, "I will run after you, for you are my little bunny." "If you run after me," said the little bunny, "I will become a fish in a trout stream, and I will swim away from you." "If you become a fish in a trout stream," said his mother, "I will become a fisherman, and I will fish for you." "If you become a fisherman," said the little bunny, "I will become a rock on the mountain high above you," and so on and so forth. And it goes on and on. One of my favorites is when the little bunny says that they will become a bird and fly away. "If you become a bird and fly away from me," said his mother, "I will be a tree that you come home to." We used to read this to Owen and Ezra, especially Owen. I think if anybody's bound to be a runaway bunny, it might be Owen, but that's all right. And we love this story, reading this story together. And here's how it ends, if you don't know. It ends with the little bunny essentially giving up and saying, well, it's not worth the effort. He says he's going to become a little boy and run into a house. "If you become a little boy and run into a house," said the mother bunny, "I will become your mother and catch you in my arms and hug you." "Shucks," said the little bunny. "I might just as well stay where I am and be your little bunny." And so he did. "Have a carrot," said the mother bunny. It should not come as much of a surprise, I suppose, that some have interpreted this story as a story of God's love for all of us, of what God's love is like for us. Now, some people find the mother in this story a little overbearing. I saw on the internet, where else, that there are some who think the mother bunny is very controlling. They say, if that's what God's love is like, I don't want it. I don't need a helicopter parent gone awry. But I don't think that's quite fair. I hear it a little bit differently. What I hear is a game being played. The little bunny wants to know just how far he can go before his mother will stop looking for him. How secret and how different he can become before his mother stops loving him. And her answer is, there is no limit. My arms will always be open to you, and I will always love you, no matter what. And that is what I also heard in the scriptures for today. In Isaiah and Paul and Simon Peter. Here I am, Lord. Send me. These are the ringing words from the text of Isaiah. Here I am, send me. They are often invoked at ordinations. And they bear a kind of confidence and strength, don't they? As though the model for being a Christian was to boldly say, here I am, send me. Well, yes and no. Certainly, God is always calling us to mission. To feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to care for all in need. Certainly, God has work for us to accomplish. But I don't think the point of Isaiah is that our response to God's call has to be some firm and resolute and self-confident, here I am, send me. Consider the whole of the story. Isaiah is in the temple and has a vision. And what's the first thing he says? Not here I am, send me, but woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And even after Isaiah's lips are touched by the burning coal, we might still wonder how much of Isaiah's response was confidence and how much was courage. How much of Isaiah's, here I am, send me, is, really, I'm the only one here, I guess. I'll have to do. Shucks, said Isaiah. I might as well go. I'm your little bunny. Simon Peter, too, in the gospel reading, wants to run away, or rather, he wants Jesus to go away. He plays the same game as the little bunny. You can almost hear the sarcasm in his voice when he says, Master, we've been fishing all day and nothing. But sure, because you said so, we'll go ahead and drop the nets. Oh no, there's fish down there. Okay. And what does he say when they bring in their haul? Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And I think Jesus' response is very telling, very Mother Bunny. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I'm not going away from you. You are my little bunny. And then there's Paul. In what may seem like an otherwise dry recital of the tradition that the Corinthians knew anyway, he sneaks in a little line that I hope you noticed. We're used to thinking of Paul as a bit of a blowhard. At least someone with a great deal of confidence, yes? But then there's this little line where he says, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And that's not the only place that Paul talks about his past in persecuting the church and his deep guilt surrounding it. So Paul, too, begins with an awareness of his failings. And he says, but it is by God's grace that I am what I am. Now, I could make a point here about being called to mission. Isaiah and Simon Peter and Paul are all called to a particular sort of mission. Isaiah was called to be a prophet. Simon Peter to be an apostle, the premier apostle, right? And Paul was called to be apostle to the Gentiles or the nations. Each of them has a distinct vocation to which God is calling them. And that's true of all of us as well. And in our baptismal covenant, we are called to live as disciples of Jesus Christ. And that means we have work to do. All of that is true. But this week I heard something just a bit deeper than that not just about our vocation to be the body of Christ, but about who God is and who we are before God. Each of these stories, as I hear them, is a lesson in imperfection and failure, as much as a lesson of triumph. Each of these figures confesses that they would rather run away, that they are failures. But it's precisely at that point that God's love and grace and mercy come through all the more clearly. The call to mission or to ministry, to acts of justice and mercy, is first and foremost a call, a persistent drumming to come, to return, time and again to God's embrace, which is always waiting, always welcoming. God is always longing for us to return, not to find security in our own confidence, but to find our courage in God's radical love. Now, in case I'm being a little too abstract, let me put it this way. Nothing you've done is too much. No failure too big, and nothing that you are is beyond God's love. That's what is so remarkable about God's love. There is no limit to how far we can wander or how much we can change that will ever make God stop loving us. There is no point at which God abandons us. You don't have to be particularly good or right or successful to earn God's love. God loves you. God longs for, calls out to, even the most wayward. And the invitation is always open for us to say, "Well, shucks, I might as well come back and be your little bunny." We don't need to be perfect. We just need to be a little brave. To be willing to say with Isaiah, "Here I am. With my fears and bitterness and hardness of heart, here I am with my failures laid bare. How can I help? Send me to the hard and thankless tasks, to the fun and joyful ones. Here I am. Send me." There's a text by the Sufi mystic Rumi that I love and came to know through a song that Ana Hernandez, who works with congregational song, taught at a workshop once. This is how I know the text. And the words are, "Come, come, whoever you are, worshiper, wanderer, lover of leaving. Ours is not a caravan of despair. Though you have broken your vows 1,000 times, come, come again, come." I'll invite you to go home and YouTube Ana Hernandez, "Come Whoever You Are." It's a beautiful tune, and I'll sing it for you briefly just to whet your appetite, because it's a kind of a haunting tune that sometimes I like to meditate on this song. So, "Come, come, whoever you are, worshipper, wanderer, lover of leaving. Ours is not a caravan of despair. Though you have broken your vows 1,000 times, come, come again, come." Amen.